To whose temple the arch is starlit, in whose temple the sun is the image of God, to whose temple the moon goes every month and brings the message out every full moon, and whose message the moon sings as a word of 16 letters, his religion I belong to, his temple I visit, his name I utter, his glory I live in, to him I offer the lotus of my day. To him I offer the lotus of my night. Master Namaskaram. Master C. V. V. Namaskaram. Hari Om. Fraternal greetings and good wishes to all the brothers and the sisters. In the morning we spoke about the seven lights within us, which we relate to by relating to the seven centers in us. The seven centers which we generally note from Sahasrara to Mooladhara, they are the seven chief lights of the temple. The human form itself is a temple, and in this temple we have the seven lights. And the seven lights have to be related to on a daily basis as a first step to note that this is not just a body of flesh and blood, but within it there is the seven chief lights, the seven chief spirits, which also exist in the universe, which also exist in our solar system. It is these seven lights that prepare the whole creation. And we do also carry these lights with us. By relating to these seven lights in us, the esteem relating to us would be very high. That we carry seven lights in us is not a matter of ordinary importance. It is of extraordinary importance. And it is because of these seven lights in us, the seven plexus continue to give seven varieties of experiences in us. Therefore, regularly relating to these seven is of great importance. In these seven lights, you find two lights in the head, two lights in the upper torso, and three lights in the lower torso. That's how it is. There is Ajna and Sahasrara in the head, the throat and Anahata, or Vishuddhi and Anahata, or throat and heart in the upper torso, solar plexus, sacral, and Mooladhara in the lower torso. That is how they are distributed amidst the three dimensions of our body. The first understanding is that we are three in one. The basic understanding is we are three in one, that there is the head, which is of light, and there is the heart, and then there is also the solar plexus and that part below the diaphragm. These three parts contain seven lights. These three parts should be remembered consistently, basically. When we say Guru Brahma, Guru means the one whom we are referring to in this invocation. The temple is his. It is, he has no name, he has no form, and sun is an image of him. That one has a, in his temple there are three dimensions. One dimension is the Brahma dimension of third Lagos, which is in the lower torso. And then the second Lagos, whom we call Vishnu, he is in the upper torso. And then the one whom we call Shiva, he is in the head. So when we say Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo, Maheshwara, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara are third Lagos, second Lagos, and first Lagos, the three. So these three have to be seen as the three aspects of the one. That is what we call the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity consists of the first Logos as the head, the second Logos as the upper torso, and then the third Logos as the lower torso. That's how we have to understand when we make these utterances. Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, then we say Parabrahma, meaning he is the one who permeates the whole. We say these are the three upon the background of the one. He is the fourth one. Upon the background of whom we call Brahman or Parabrahman or the unspeakable, unthinkable, unnameable God, upon his background there is a projection of a triangle. That triangle is first Logos, the head, second Logos, the upper torso, third Logos, the lower torso. That's how you have to, when we say Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, and Parabrahma, that's how we say. Then again, when we say, for example, C, V, V, you can also relate the three sounds, C in the head, one V in the upper torso, one V in the lower. దిస్ ఈజ్ ది వే యూ హ్యావ్ టు రిలేట్ టు ది ఇన్నర్ టెంపుల్. డోంట్ డూ ఎనీ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ విచ్ ఆర్ అన్రిలేటబుల్ టు యూ. వెన్ యూ డూ థింగ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ నాట్ రిలేటెడ్ విచ్ యూ డోంట్ రిలేట్ టు యువర్ సెల్ఫ్, ది కెమిస్ట్రీ డస్ నాట్ హ్యాప్. కెమిస్ట్రీ హ్యాపన్స్ వెన్ వీ టేక్ ఇట్ ఇన్ టు అస్. ఈవెన్ వెన్ వీ ఈట్ ఫుడ్, ది ఫుడ్ విత్ ఇన్ హ్యాస్ ది గివ్స్ ది కెమిస్ట్రీ టు ది బాడీ. సో ఎనీథింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ టేకన్ ఇన్ గివ్స్ ది కెమిస్ట్రీ. సో వర్షిపింగ్ గాడ్ ఎక్స్ట్రేనియస్ టు యూ ఈజ్ నెవర్ కన్సిడర్డ్ యాజ్ ఎన్ అకల్ట్ ప్రాక్టీస్. ఇట్స్ ఓకే, ఇట్ ఈస్ డన్ మోర్ యాజ్ ఎ ట్రెడిషన్ టు, బట్ అప్లైయింగ్ గాడ్ అపాన్ యువర్ అన్ ఇమేజ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, సో యూ హ్యావ్ టు అప్లై థింగ్స్ అపాన్ యూ బ్రహ్మ విష్ణు మహేశ్వర. సో ఇఫ్ యూ థింక్ ఆఫ్ సహస్ర, థింక్ ఆఫ్ అండ్ ఆజ్ఞ, ఇట్ ఈస్ మహేశ్వర. థింక్ ఆఫ్ హార్ట్, ఇట్ ఈస్ విష్ణు ది సెకండ్ లాగోస్. థింక్ ఆఫ్ సోలార్ ప్లెక్సస్ వేర్ యూ హ్యావ్ సో మెనీ థాట్స్ ఎమర్జింగ్ ఆల్ ది టైమ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ది క్రియేటర్ బ్రహ్మ. సో దట్స్ హౌ యూ హ్యావ్ టు రిలేట్. దిస్ ఈస్ ది ఫండమెంటల్ త్రీ. In the three you have again seven as a detail. Just like when you visit a temple, first visit you see some details, second visit you see some more details. Even if you go to a pyramid or anything, in the first visit you see some details, in the second visit you see something more, in the third visit you see more. You continuously see more and more because this is a replica of the cosmos. Man is a microcosmos. So all that is in the cosmic system is also in man. That is the fundamental understanding. So by finding the cosmos within us, we can relate to the cosmos outside. When we do not relate to the related intelligences within, you cannot relate to those intelligences outside. Therefore, first understanding of the temple is the triple dimension. Second understanding of the temple is the sevenfold dimension. There can be many more folds. If you go into detail, it can be 49 dimensions. But we stop with seven so that later when you work with them, you know greater detail. Just like those who go to Iguazu Falls, first time when they go, they see something. Second time they go, they see something more. Third time they go, still more. Fourth time they go, still more. After so many times when you visit, you become a guide to show the temple, isn't it? Because you know so many things about it. If you go, again, I quote our brother Hugo, who regularly takes groups to the falls. He can show so many details about the falls. So likewise, more and more you visit, more and more detail you know about your own being, and you feel that you are not just a mortal being. There is a part which is mortal in us. There is a part which is immortal in us. Immortal. So the immortal is always there at all times. Mortal is a precipitate that happens for a duration and then it dissolves itself. That's why the knower knows that he does not die. None of the three in us, they die. None of the three that we constitute, they don't die. Man is, as I said in the morning, the God in man. God in man. In Sanskrit, he is called Narayana. And then there is the man in God, in the heart, as I explained in the morning. He is called Nara. Nara. The beings are called Naras, meaning they are eternal beings. These eternal beings are presided by Narayana, who is the basic energy from which the beings emerge, they grow, they experience, and they get back into him. Again, they emerge from him, they grow, they experience, and they come back into him. Just like every day, At it emerges, it reaches its zenith during the midday and then concludes by evening and then gets like into the apparent darkness, which is a promise for the next dawn. So it continues to be the morning, evening and the midnoon continues to be. Just because now the midnoon is over and we are in the afternoon, we cannot say there is no more midnoon. We cannot say there is no more dawn. It keeps on happening cyclically. The cyclical happening of the beings is called Narayana. Ayana means cyclical movement. So the one who conducts a cyclical movement of beings, that the beings emerge at the beginning of creation, they grow and then build and then do so many things and then they retreat. These three dimensions keep happening on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, and on a yearly basis, and on the basis of cycles of time like yugas, mahayugas, kalpas. Like that, any number of cycles you may have, but this triple function keeps happening. Emergence, growth and retreat. Even every act that we do is like that. So we commence this seminar, for example, this afternoon. It is now in its duration. It is in the second dimension. Then, as we reach around, say, 5:30, it slowly retreats and concludes for the day. So in everything there is a beginning, there is a bloom, and then there is a fading away. But every fade away gives birth to another bloom. Isn't it? So therefore this eternal aspect relating to us, namely the God in man, the man in God, the Superman, the man, and the personality, it also does not die. The beauty is it keeps changing and grows itself. What is it that grows in us? It's not what we say as growth of soul is not really growth of soul. It is the growth of personality. The space in this room, it doesn't grow. You have built a structure. But if you make a bigger structure, it looks there is more space, isn't it? But the space is always there. So how much you improve your personality, which is the third aspect of you, so much you will be able to manifest, so much you will be able to experience. That's how, for a master of wisdom, the personality has grown into such dimensions that it occupies all the three worlds. He is there in the solar plane, he is in the planetary plane, he is on the planet. That's the beauty of the personality that he has developed. That's why we say there are beings who, fly, there are flying dragons, there are beings who mount the flying dragons. If you see the book on Uranus, I gave you the symbol of Uranus. The Uranus or Varuna, he is the one who flies upon a white dragon in the space waters. So that is his dimension. He is a supra-cosmic being. The dimension is on the basis of the personality that they develop. See, every initiate keeps on improving to develop his personality. They develop, and then in that incarnation, the body is left. Again, when they are reborn, they continue to work for further development. And again work. And again develop further. That's how they keep on developing to gain even planetary consciousness. All masters of wisdom, they have a planetary consciousness. Meaning, just like we know what is happening around us, they know what is happening around the planet. And there are such great beings like Lord Maitreya, Master Maurya, their awareness has grown beyond the planetary, interplanetary. Understand? Interplanetary understanding. Meaning the sphere of their activity, the sphere of their awareness has grown bigger, 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 bigger. And if you get to the ultimate of it, you find the Trinity. Trinity, you know the scriptures, the Vedas, they say even the Trinity are beings like you and me. Even the Trinity is the three logos we speak, even they are beings like you and me. But they have grown and grown and grown and grown and grown and grown and grown to be Trinity. So what is it that is grown? The personality. So therefore you keep on improving your personality. Consistently you would also develop different forms of personality. Different forms of personality. As I said, from the body of flesh and blood, you prepare a body of golden light. And then from the body of golden light, you form a body of diamond light, which are called Sukshma Sarira and Karana Sarira in the books. In the books, the Master Jalkul introduced this terminology here and there into the books so that the West is benefited by this knowledge. Sukshma Sarira is the subtle body. Karana Sarira is the causal body. Causal body is of diamond light and it has greater sphere of activity. See, when we form an organization, we prepare a memorandum, you know. Memorandum says what is the area of your operation. For example, World Teacher Trust as an organization, when we started it in Vishakhapatnam in 1971, we said the activity will extend to the whole globe. But when we constituted the World Teacher Trust, it was only local. But then it has grown and grown and grown and grown. And that is a memorandum to grow onto the planet. Likewise, every being also, this year, an organization is also called an artificial person. Even according to law, it is accepted as an artificial person. We are natural persons. We can grow. There is no limit to it. The urge to grow has to be with us. The urge to grow has to be. So therefore, the personality is what we keep on developing life after life. As much as you develop the personality, so much your form takes to refinements according to the degree of radiation of the personality. The form happens. See, we read in the books that when you see a master of wisdom, he radiates so much of light and his form is so symmetrical. Everything about him is so very beautiful, isn't it? There are descriptions about Master Kuthumi by one bishop from Australia called Leadbeater, C.W. Leadbeater. When he saw Master Kuthumi from head to foot, he describes him, how beautiful he is. Until then, he never knew that such man can be so very beautiful. Why? Because according to the growth of the radiation and magnetism of the personality, the form takes to the related contours and takes to a very proportionate shape. That's where you have the science of phrenology, you know. Samudrika, that's what is said in Sanskrit. You can see how is the forehead. The forehead is indicative of man's intelligence. The eyes, the light in the eyes, హౌ బిగ్ ఆర్ ది ఐస్, హౌ స్మాల్ ఆర్ ది ఐస్, వాట్ కలర్ ది ఐస్ క్యారీ. ఇట్స్ నాట్ ఆల్ ఐస్ హ్యావ్ ది సేమ్ కలర్. ఫ్రమ్ వెరీ ట్రాన్స్పరెంట్ ఐస్ టు బ్లూయిష్ ఐస్ టు ఏ హనీ కలర్డ్ ఐస్, బ్లాక్ ఐస్, దే హ్యావ్ ఇట్ ఇండికేటర్, దే ఇండికేట్ ది ఎవల్యూషన్. ఆల్సో ది ఇయర్స్, ది సైజ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇయర్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో ఇండికేటివ్, అండ్ ది నోస్ అండ్ ది మౌత్ అండ్ ది టీత్ ఇన్ ది మౌత్, దే ఆర్ ఆల్సో ఇండికేటివ్. ఇస్ ఇట్ ఆల్ అకార్డింగ్ టు యువర్ ఎవల్యూషన్ థింగ్స్ కీప్ ఆన్ డెవలపింగ్ ఇన్ యూ ఇన్ టు రైట్ ప్రపోర్షన్. యూ ఆల్ హ్యావ్ ఇన్ ది వెస్ట్ ది పిక్చర్ ఆఫ్ గివెన్ బై దావించి రిలేటెడ్ టు ది ప్రపోర్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్. That's the ideal proportion. A master of wisdom is in that ideal proportion. He has all those, because by virtue of the knowledge that he carries, there is related radiation and magnetism by which the formation is in tune with nature. That's why in India we have so many worship hymns about Krishna. There is no such happening according to the seers on this planet. That is so completely beautiful, that everything about him is beautiful. Everything. His looks are beautiful, his smile is beautiful, his walk is beautiful. Everything about him is beautiful. There is a huge adharam madharam, madharam madharam madharam. Madharam means so sweet. Anything he does is so sweet to look at. And anything he plays is also like that. Even if he is at war, he is like that. The enemy, the people who fight from the other side, looking at him, they are at awe. It's the beauty. That's the ideal. That is what we say as ideal. There is also the story of Rama. They are avatars, you know. They are avatars. When Rama was at fight with a demon, not a demon, he is a giant, huge giant, diabolic in nature. Looking at Rama, he just melts like butter. See, that very form is so very magnetic, so very beautiful. So that's how, why I am saying is the form takes the related changes when you take to the wisdom. Don't take to dietary habits. Leave it. When you are with the higher things, the lower fall into order. When you are with the higher things, the lower fall into order. If you are only trying to set things right at the lower level, it doesn't work. That's why if you are aiming at nobler things, aiming at the divine side of your being, your order just slowly, it reshapes itself. That's what a master of wisdom looks at when he looks at his students. How is the energy order in him? Because according to the energy order, the beauty is. Beauty is always in association with orderliness. From tip to what we call tip of the toe to top of the head. With a master wisdom, everything is in order. Why is it so? It is on account of the wisdom that is embedded in him. He is an embodiment of wisdom. So we aim at not the beauty of form, but we aim at the beauty of wisdom. That's why it is said about Greece, a nation which was the doorway for wisdom from east to west. The country Greece was considered to be the entry door of wisdom into the Occident from the Orient. That's how it is said. The Greeks had great passion for wisdom. Great passion for wisdom. And when they had such a passion for wisdom, they grew to such great heights. Great heights. But the passion for wisdom slowly is replaced by the passion for the form. Passion for the form. That's why we say, replace your passion for the form by passion for wisdom. When there is a passion for the form, you are after the other gender all the time. Isn't it? And that passion will, passion of the form will not stay long. Will not stay long. There is a period where when you are youthful, the form is blooming. But thereafter, it fades away. The beauty of the form fades away, but the beauty of wisdom never fades. That's why even when if you see a wise man who is very old, still he looks very beautiful. The beauty is of wisdom, not of the form. That's how the wisdom helps us to transmutate the form and cause transformation. Because he transcends with the help of wisdom into all these seven lights that are within us. That should be known. That's why do not look for inferior things in life. How to maintain this body? It maintains itself if you don't meddle with it. The body maintains itself if you don't meddle with it. Because it has its own intelligence. It has its own intelligence. That is what today called as body language. Eat when you are hungry. Don't eat because you like it. If you are asked to take a second chocolate, if you are not hungry, you say no thank you. But when a second chocolate is offered, and they say, this is from Switzerland, if you eat it, or this is from Belgium. Likewise, we have dulce de leche in Argentina, isn't it? Dulce de leche, a very famous sweet in Argentina. Initially, when people were coming from Europe or India, they were falling for it, isn't it? And they were carrying tins of dulce de leche too. But now no more. They are all temporary things. But with wisdom it's not so. Wisdom is eternal. It is an eternal association. Association with form is not that eternal. Its nature itself is to change. You see the flower? In the morning when we come, when we go back from prayer, you see a blooming flower. It's so bloom, isn't it? We say, wow, and we make photographs. We try to make a selfie with it, all kinds of things. And in the evening, when we come back again for our evening session, it is already over. So the beauty of form fades away, but the beauty of wisdom stays for all times to come. Therefore, the form aspect is not given so much importance in the fields of wisdom. The form aspect is not given so much importance in the fields of wisdom. A very valuable scripture. What difference it makes if it is well-bound or not well-bound? That is that it has a beautiful cover or it doesn't have a beautiful cover. The cover or the bind are not important. The content is important. Isn't it? If in a golden container, if we give spoiled milk, do we drink? In a golden container, if you give, for example, a drink which is not tasty, you don't drink it just because the cup is golden. But if what you get The drink is tasty. You don't care whether it is an earthen container or a silver container or a ceramic container. We don't bother. What's important is what is in it, isn't it? What is in it? Therefore, the form dimension slowly in wisdom shifts to the content dimension. Content. For a person like me, if cappuccino is offered, I don't care which container, which cup it contains. Cappuccino is cappuccino, like that. If you give any coffee, the very smell, even if the container is excellent, you cannot drink it. Can you? That's the difference between association with form and association with wisdom. That's why in the books of Master Jalku, how patient he is in his dictations. He says thousands and thousands of times, from form aspect to life aspect, from form aspect to life aspect, you have to shift. How long you are stuck with the form, which doesn't remain with you? Even if you maintain exceedingly well, by 84 years, the body is full of ripples, everywhere ripples. But it's so big. But the inner being, he has no ripples. Develop the inner being with the help of wisdom and thereby gain these dimensions. So therefore the personality has to be improved upon in terms of wisdom. The passion for wisdom is what makes you come here. Isn't it? From 1992, as our brother Rodolfo said, at the consulate, 23rd June 1992, it happened that I stepped into the South American continent. We are now in 2018, isn't it? So 27th year today. We are into the 27th. So every time there is gathering, every time there is learning of wisdom, every time there is an ardent invitation that I should come back, isn't it? Why? What is it that makes that? What is it makes the persons? When do you come? When do you come back? It's not because of the form. It is because of the wisdom. That passion for wisdom causes the needed growth. It's like being with a magnet. Being with wisdom is like being with a magnet. That's it. When you are with the magnet, it keeps on magnetizing it. 24/7. Magnet does not remain like we go to offices. For some time we go to office, other times we don't work like this. We are. For a magnet, wherever it is, all the time, 24 hours, all the 7 days, it continuously magnetizes. That's the beauty of wisdom. That's why as much as you have the passion for wisdom, that passion for wisdom causes the needed changes in you. It causes so many changes. To start with, the quality of your eating changes effortlessly. Quality of your. That's why what you think is not, what you eat is not so very important. What you think is important. What you think. When you are thinking into realms of light, your lower things, they automatically and naturally fall into an order. Fall into an order. Likewise, your speaking faculty improves. You don't speak as before. Your activity, your outer activity, physical activity, there is a quality in that activity. Wisdom reflects in your actions. Wisdom reflects in your speeches. Wisdom reflects in your thoughts. Because its work is to radiate and magnetize. radiated mind. So therefore, this personality is to be put to the needed changes, and that happens when we see the various dimensions of the light within us. That's what we are at in our theme. So as I told you in the morning, firstly the three dimensions, then the seven lights. In the seven lights, we have the first three lights and then the next four lights forming the temple. First three lights representing a triangle, next four lights representing a square. A triangle over the square is the symbol of a temple. A triangle over the square is the symbol of the temple. A square without triangle means nothing. The triangle is represented by Jupiter, Sun and Venus. Jupiter, Sun and Venus. You can relate to the related centers which I told you in the morning. Jupiter is in the Sahasrara, Sun is in Ajna, and Venus is in the heart. These are the three higher centers. Just because throat is above a heart center, don't think throat is a higher center. Throat is not a higher center to the heart. No scripture ever speaks of throat so much. It speaks of the heart or the head. The higher centers are Ajna, Sahasrara, preceded by Jupiter, Ajna preceded over by Sun, the heart preceded over by Venus. These three planets together, they conduct the magic. The sound for Jupiter is Ga, because it is ever moving through, meaning ever expanding. The sound of a Sun is O. So plus Ga plus O is Go, isn't it? Ga, O. Jupiter is Ga. Sun is O. And Venus is Pa. So Ga, O, Pa. Ga plus O becomes Go. Go, Pa. See? That's it. Go. That's how the CS have found the sound Gopa, Gopi, Gopala, Govinda. All that is relating to Go is Sun-Jupiter combination. Go is Sun-Jupiter combination. So that Go has become cow in English. And the energy of Go, Sun Jupiter, is abundantly found in the cow. That is why cow is respected. Sun Jupiter energy is abundantly found in the cow. Therefore, cow is respected by the Vedic seers. But in us, there is also the Sahasrara with the Jupiterian energy. And then Ajna with the Sun energy, when these two energies are linked, we also become Go. That's why they speak of the plane which is beyond seven planes as Goloka. Goloka, meaning they are in. It's an excellent combination, Jupiter and Sun. Jupiter and Sun means, it's like a great initiate and a great king together. A great initiate and a great king. When they are together, no one can win over them. If an emperor is able to really expand the kingdom so very significantly, behind such emperor there was always a man of wisdom. Always. Be it Napoleon, be it Alexander, be it Philip the Great, be it King Arthur, all had their teachers behind them. The combination of Jupiter and Sun, we are the Sun. When we associate with Jupiter, meaning a man of wisdom, we follow the wisdom coming from the teacher and execute ourselves in tune with that wisdom. You keep on expanding your personality, your awareness, your abilities, your personality. That's the beauty. So Go is Sun Jupiter. And if Pa, which is the sound of Venus, is added, the beauty is you have the experience of the combination of Sun Jupiter. Gopa. Gopa. I gave this in the very earlier stages of teachings in the Vaishak newsletter. If we add another sound, La. La Gopa La Visena. Lam. La is the sound of Neptune. Neptune. So with Sun as the center, if you have Jupiter, Neptune and Venus as a triangle around, that is the most ideal and most blissful state of experience. So as far as we are concerned, we should know the three higher centers are Sahasrara, Ajna and the Heart. Sahasrara is very advisory. Jupiter is advisory. Isn't it? At Ajna, the Sun, he is the executive that conducts the whole thing. And at Heart, we have the experience. Experience. These three are also related to the Trinity. These three are also related to the Trinity. Sahasrara, Ajna and the Heart. The will, the knowledge and the activity. That's that. This triangle is very important, that we relate to these three as the higher centers and we relate to the other four lights, Mercury, Moon, Mars and Saturn. These lights, what do they indicate? Saturn indicates procedures. Saturn indicates procedures. If we don't follow the procedures relating to video making or audio making, they don't function. If the connections are not appropriately made, they don't function. If you don't follow procedures in nature, you are halted at every moment. You are always halted when you do not follow the procedures. Isn't it? If you wish to travel to India, there are procedures. Or if I wish to travel to Argentina, there are procedures. For everything, there is a procedure. Every game has a procedure. You can't play the ball into your own goal, isn't it? When you get into the football court, there are procedures. Who? The left back, the left forward, the right back, the right forward, the center forward, the center backward, and the goalkeeper, they have procedures. The work of Saturn is to teach you to adopt to procedures. If you don't adopt to procedures in relation to anything, you are halted. Simple. Halted for your own good. Halted for your own good. If you don't halt, you will walk into danger. So when you see a red light on the road, you have to halt. You cannot feel red light as boring. See, people who drive, when they frequently meet red lights, they get bored. Ah, always red light. But if you overlook the red light, you will meet with an accident. Isn't it? Likewise, the whole creation is full of procedures. Full. If you don't follow those procedures, that's what we call Saturn. This Saturn haunts you only to make you learn the procedure. From time to time, when Saturn makes a conjunction with Moon, or a square with Moon, or an opposition with Moon, a fourth house Moon, a eighth house Moon, or a seventh house Moon, fourth house Saturn, seventh house Saturn, eighth house Saturn, one house Saturn, meaning on the ascendant, it makes you learn procedures. Unless you learn procedures, you cannot expand. It doesn't let you. Because if you overlook procedures and expand, you are bound to fall. You are bound to fall. To build a structure like this, there are procedures. What should be the strength of the foundation? What should be the strength of the pillars which can hold a roof of this width? To hold a wide roof, you need strong pillars. You can't have weak pillars and have a wide roof. So when you are weak in your procedures, the roof falls on you. The building collapses on you. So for everything there are procedures. Inclination to know the procedure and to carry out work according to procedure is the fundamental step which one light teaches us. That is Saturn. Then the other light, which is in relation to sacral center, where I said Mars is the prevailing planet. Mars is the presiding planet. Mars is the most troubleshooting energy for a person who is in disorder. He is a trouble to a Mars. A Martian is troublesome to himself. He is also troublesome to the surroundings. Mars should always be set on goals. On targets. Mars should always be set on tasks. Task after task. See how Hercules was given labors until his Martian energy is completely rounded up. He was given task after task, task after task, task after task. If we don't have tasks, we don't raise, we relax and we get into non-essential things. Isn't it? It's dangerous to be at leisure. It is dangerous to be at leisure because during the leisure hours, your innate nature emerges from you. There are people who are, when they are leisurely, they think of eating something. Otherwise, they don't need to eat. Kada? Especially the Indians. The weak point in you emerges when you are at leisure. The weak point in you emerges when you are at leisure. If you have the habit of playing cards and gambling, if you are leisurely, you would like to do that. Or if you are leisurely, you would like to smoke a cigarette. If you are leisurely at home, you fight with your wife. If the wife is leisurely at home and available, and the husband is available, she will fight with her husband. So leisure is it. Leisure is should be seen as a danger until you have learned how to apply the energy that you have in you. Application of energy in a rightful manner is very important. Mars, if it is not given, if a person is not given tasks, right from fifth year, every human is given tasks. Study well, play well, sleep on time, get up on time, targets are set. And insofar as you are completely occupied in accomplishing the tasks you are given, labor after labor, labor after labor, labor after labor, that would create a regulated functioning of the energy in you, which is Mars. What Mars can achieve, others cannot achieve. Mars is the go-getter in anyone. Mars is the go-getter, and that Mars should always be set on task. Just like a bull, if it is set on the task of tilling the land or grinding the grains, always it has to be given work. A bull has to be given work. That's why we call it as bull work. If bull has no work, it is very devastating. I don't know in your countries. In our country, there are bulls which keep moving in the vegetable markets. They keep on eating away the vegetables in the shops because they have no work. They are not given any work. A bull has to be threaded. It has to be yoked and it has to be put in cultivation. Then it does tremendous work. What a bull can do, a horse cannot do. In the East, they know which animal is good for what. Using horses for tilling was not wisdom. Horses for riding, to move faster. Bull has certain strength, certain stamina. Mars has that stamina and that strength, and it shall always be set on task. Setting on task is what we call aspiration. Aspiration. The children, while we are children, we should have aspiration to be something in life. To be something. If you have aspiration, you grow in tune with the aspiration by application of the energy of Mars in you. See, the Prime Minister of India today, at one time he was selling tea at the railway platform like a boy. Selling tea. Imagine how much he has regulated his energy and utilized that energy in a direction that he became the Prime Minister of the country. Likewise, there was another Prime Minister in Soviet Russia, Bulganin. He was a paper vendor. Every morning he was delivering newspapers at home and studying by the night under the road lamp post. Aspiration. So to be something in life, there has to be an aspiration. You have to set your aspiration. I want to be the richest person on the globe. It's an aspiration. I want to be the best professional. It's an aspiration. Likewise, when you have passion for wisdom, you should aspire to be an initiate. Don't you? You have to set the task and then work on the task. It's like, you know, the Yavantamaya Gurralaki Gantal Katrani? Much well. Yeah, the horses are set to the blinds, isn't it? So that it doesn't look to the grass on either side of the path. It only sees the path. the horse is not allowed to see to the left, it is not allowed to see the right. It is allowed to see only the path and then keep moving on the path. There is no moving hither and thither. Like that, Mars should always be entrusted with the task. If when Mars is on the task, there is nothing that Mars cannot achieve. Nothing that Mars cannot achieve. You know, we have a, I'm looking at the time, we have a story in the scriptures about Kumara. We have the book on Kumara, you can see it. He is the one who emerged from the first logos, Shiva. Very powerful. Very powerful. A powerful man should never be kept idle. Then he is a danger to the entire community. He has so much power in him. So he was entrusted with the task of restraining the diabolics beyond their fields of activity. Restraining the diabolics beyond their field of activity. The diabolics have a role to play in creation. But they have the habit of transgressing, trespassing. In all mythologies, we have these diabolics who trespass. They jump into the activities of the divine. They cause problems to the divine. And they are very powerful. The diabolics are generally more powerful than the divine. Generally. It's a very unfortunate situation. A just good man is no good, you know. Just good man is no good. So therefore, he was given the task of containing the diabolics in creation. It's an eternal task. Eternal task. Continuously be on the vigil and keep ensuring that the diabolics do not jump over. In us there are diabolics. In us there are diabolics. They always suggest, sleep away for this morning. Diabolic is anti-light, you know. So morning hours, the diabolic suggests in you, just to sleep away, this Kumar says, get up early and all that. Forget about it, you can sleep. That is diabolicness. Isn't it? Even till date, it's a problem to get up early in the morning. Why the diabolics in us try to rise and put you off from the dawn hours? By that they achieve it a lot. They keep you ignorant. The diabolics do not let you do your prayers regularly. The diabolics do not let you relate to the teachings of the master regularly. Meditation, study and service is the triangle, which is always broken. It is never built and never made strong. Do we really regularly study the teachings of the master? There is always the danger of not opening any teaching of any master on a day. It's always there. Any moment it can happen to us. But if Mars is at work, it doesn't. It says, get up, do your prayer, make your reading. It's a self-regulation. And how about the service? What service are you doing? It keeps on asking you. That's Mars in us. Blessed are those in whom Mars is active, and blessed are those who are on task. When Mars is weak, tasks are not achieved. Tasks are never accomplished. We say something, that we will do like this by such and such a time. And then on that day we say, we are sorry. Just one word. We have the beautiful word of saying sorry. Mars, in his vocabulary, there is no such thing as sorry. Why sorry? Why sorry? The lethargy that we carry in us, you will not let the lethargy set in. Lethargy is a diabolic. Lethargy is a diabolic. He doesn't let it happen. Therefore, the light of Mars, he generates enough aspiration and enough direction. And you are already with procedures and you are with the direction. Then what are you to do? It is the moon in the solar plexus. Moon, when it is angled to the higher circles, it reflects the higher energies. Moon is like a mirror. Mind is a mirror. Mirror, whichever way you show, it reflects what it is there. If you reflect this way, you see the wall. Isn't it? But you can also see Pedro, you can also see the Master Jupiter, you can see Dattatreya. If you see this way, mind shows those pictures. If you turn this way, you see the greenery as it exists in this hotel. Isn't it? Even after the sunset hours, we keep the curtains closed. If we open the curtains, there is a beautiful sunset light that comes into the hall. When we start the class, no doubt the sun rays are a bit warm. But the curtains continue to be like that. That is diabolism. So we don't know that the diabolics are at work. See, when we open the curtains, how beautiful it is. At least to me, to you, not to you. To you, you have this vision. I have the other vision. They have the vision. Not that we do not know about it, but it doesn't occur. That is diabolism. It doesn't occur. Not to have the right occurrence at the right moment is diabolic activity. That's why we pray upon the light of Gayatri to ensure that we get the right thought at the right moment. Therefore, the work of the moon is to reflect upon the higher circles in us. When moon relates to Ajna, meaning when moon relates to sun, then solar plexus energy is a moon energy. Ajna, center energy, sun energy. If moon is oriented to sun, what is it? It is full moon. When moon is not oriented to sun, there is no full moon. So the work of moon is to receive from higher circles and to work it out in the lower circles. That's why in ancient times, solar plexus is seen as most important center. For human beings. Because we are all mind-oriented beings. Mind-oriented beings shall have to ensure that the mind receives from higher circles. Isn't it? Not from the surrounding circles. When you receive from higher circles, you gain that virginity of thought. It's fresh. From the surroundings, you get repetitive thoughts. సో వెర్టికాలిటీ షెల్ హ్యావ్ టు బి ఇంకల్కేటెడ్ టు ది మైండ్. వెర్టికాలిటీ షెల్ హ్యావ్ టు బి ఇంకల్కేటెడ్ టు ది మైండ్. ది మైండ్ షుడ్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ సహస్ర ఆజ్ఞ విశుద్ధి అనాహత. దీస్ ఆర్ ది సెంటర్స్ హయ్యర్ టు సోలార్ ప్లెక్సస్. సో మూన్ షెల్ హ్యావ్ టు బి ఆన్ ఎ డైలీ బేసిస్ ఫర్ సమ్ టైమ్ ఓరియంటెడ్ టు ది హయ్యర్ సర్కిల్. దెన్ ఇట్ కెన్ బ్రింగ్ డౌన్ ఒరిజినల్ థాట్స్, ఫ్రెష్ థాట్స్ అండ్ థాట్స్ ఆఫ్ లైట్ టు ఇంట్రడ్యూస్ దెమ్ ఇన్ టు యువర్ డైలీ లైఫ్. డైలీ లైఫ్ దట్స్ హౌ ది సోలార్ ప్లెక్సస్ ఈ సీన్ యాజ్ ఎ సెంటర్ ఇన్ టు విచ్ యూ కెన్ రిసీవ్ ది హయ్యర్ ప్లాన్ విత్ ది హెల్ప్ ఆఫ్ మూన్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ లైట్ బై ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. And then there is the heart center which gives you the experience, and then the throat center which gives you the expression. The work of the throat center is expression from subjective to objective, and then ajna where the will of God is known, and sahasrara where the plan, the knowledge is gained. So that's how the seven lights in us have a definitive function if only we know what they are and how to relate to them. How to relate to them. I will give a simple order to you. Think of knowledge as the center of knowledge and love at the highest Jupiter. The will of God at solar plexus, at Ajna, where the sun is. Activity of light, the throat center. Experience of life at the heart center. Reflection of the above upon earth at the solar plexus. Direction, tasks, accomplishments, targets, working for the targets at the sacral center. Adapting to procedures at the physical plane through the help of the light in the Mooladhara. This is how the whole theme is arranged. When we do not know the theme relating to the arrangement of lights in us, we do whatever we like. That's what I say. If you do not know, when you are given a new vehicle, if you do not know where the switch for lights are, where the switch is for the wipers of the frontal glass, where is the switch for that to show that you wish to go right or where to go left, the winkers to operate. If you do not know where the brake is, where the gear is, where the clutch is, where the accelerator is, if you just sit down and keep driving, you make accidents. More and more you have automobiles with so much of sophistication. To read the manual relating to the automobile is important before you operate the automobile. If you don't read the manual relating to automobile and you read the automobile, you ride the automobile, you are bound to meet with accidents, isn't it? Many people buy very sophisticated televisions, the huge screen, but they don't know how to operate it, isn't it? You should have time to read the manual. If you know what are all the facilities that the television give, then you can use the television for variety of purposes, not only for seeing news or some cinemas, But also as internet, as it has its own mailing system, it can also be connected to YouTube. It has multiple functions. A television has a multiple function. You know the multiple functions of the television only if you read the manual or learn from a man who knows the manual. Isn't it? Either way. Also these phones, now it is not just a phone, isn't it? We still call it a mobile phone. It's not just a phone. It has so many varied functions in it. You should have the patience to learn the manual relating to it. Or relate to a person who knows it. That's what I do. I relate to my son. Tell me how to do this. Tell me how to do that. So when he tells, I operate. So the one who tells you is your teacher in this regard, isn't it? Either you know your manual called the human body, or you try to learn from the man who knows the manual and then operate accordingly. Otherwise we have wrong instincts always. See, by nature we don't want to adapt to procedures, isn't it? Simple. The mind tries to see how to overcome, how to skip a procedure. Even in the best governed countries, if you go very early in the morning, people don't respect the traffic signals. Only when there is traffic, they say, respect the traffic signals. Can you say you are good with Saturn? You are not good with Saturn, and you are prone for a danger. Where is the guarantee? Suddenly some other vehicle comes from the other side when there is a red light and you cross over. We take such concessions in procedures. There are procedures with respect to everything. That's the whole creation is full of procedures. If you eat something more than what is needed for your stomach, it gives trouble. Because we have not followed the procedure. If we eat less than that, it gives problem. If we eat less, it gives problem. You eat more, it gives problem. We have to eat as much as is required. That's the procedure. So like that, in every little thing, if you sleep more, there is a problem. If you don't sleep at all, there is a problem. You have to sleep as much as is required. Likewise, speeches. Isn't it? So in anything that we use in relation to our body, there are procedures. That's what Saturn stands for. Learn the procedures. Set a task to yourself. Reflect into the higher circles with the help of moon and solar plexus. Then the higher reflects on the lower. The higher centers reflect on the lower centers. If you see the teachings of Master Jalkul, he gives so many correspondences. He gives correspondence of Sahasrara and Mooladhara, a bridge. Reflect. Meaning Jupiter and Saturn, a combination. Jupiter is an expansive consciousness. Saturn is a consolidating consciousness. So every expansion shall have to be followed by a consolidation. You can't go on expanding to fall somewhere. Every expansion should be followed by a contraction or consolidation. You set a brick, then have some cementing material and set another brick. Those who know how to build, they don't build the whole wall on the same day. They build one third of the wall, they wait till it consolidates. Then build this another portion, then build the third force, so that there is a consolidation. So expansion and consolidation together, Sahasrara Mooladhara. Ajna, the sun center, and sacral center. There is a bridge. We get direction from Ajna. Where you receive the order. Ajna means order. Order means instruction. The king gives an order. So you take the order from the higher circles and ensure that you follow that order with the help of the Martian energy in sacral center. Then moon in solar plexus build a bridge with throat, which is Mercury. Mercury, moon, they are a combination. Mercury is the higher mind, moon is the lower mind. Build a combination. Like that, if you build three bridges, heart becomes the center for three higher and three lower, and you have the blissful experience. That's how you can work in varieties of combinations in relation to the energies in you. This is how we slowly build energies in us by which the temple gets formed. Don't think it forms by itself without our doing anything. Nobody builds for us. We have to build. That's what is very clearly said in the scripture. Only by yourself you can build. Nobody builds for you. You can have the knowledge of building from others who have built it. They give you knowledge, you build it so that you have that knowledge. So I gave a little more dimensions relating to working with these seven centers in us, with the three bridges, Sahasrara Mooladhara, Ajna Sacral, Vishuddhi, solar plexus, with heart as the beauty which synthesizes the higher and the lower centers. That's how it is. Since the time is up, we continue tomorrow. There are many more dimensions relating to temple. As many as possible, I will give you during this group life. Thank you, one and all. There is 8 minutes time. And you can have a pause and regather here for the prayer. Thank you.